Welcome back to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by two guys who auditioned to do the motion capture for the Texas Tech Bellringer, Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
We got waterfalls.
Don't go chasing them.
Yeah.
Big news finally this week. Props to EA for putting out a schedule, letting us know what was coming on what days. The big one, obviously, the Sights and Sounds deep dive. We'll dig into that tonight. Second part of the show, we'll talk about the toughest places to play. Guys, right off, let's talk about this video. There was also a blog with it. We will splice in the info as we go through this video. Let's go through and break it down. Between the three of us, we've noticed a lot of details, and the community has noticed a lot, and we've picked up on what they've said as well, so we'll bring that up. Right off the bat, Alabama. I think we've seen these tunnels quite a bit before. What I think is interesting in the blog, they mentioned that they really wanted to give users this perspective of being on the field for entrances. They wanted to be, they didn't really say part of the team, but they want you to feel like you're down there and part of the entrance, which I think every entrance we've seen, kind of told us that or reiterated that, because every camera angle is very low. You are with the team.
Yeah, I'd love to see some non-elite schools showing that. So, I mean, are you only going to get that with Alabamas and LSUs and things like that? Or are you also going to get it with some lower level schools, you know, G5s and such? Yeah, just curious. I mean, obviously they're going to get less attention anyways, but I just want to know, in a general stadium entrance, are you going to see them?
Here we have NC State. We have Arizona State here with the Pat Tillman statue. Big Red from Western Kentucky. We saw this last week. EA put out a picture on National Mascot Day of Big Red. And I will say right off the bat, the three of us, we kind of wondered, did he lose a little weight? Is he, slimmed down? And I have to say the best comment I saw was, I believe it was on the EA Sports College Football Twitter feed. Somebody responded from the community and said, it looks like Big Red got on Ozempic. Like, his belly's a little smaller than it's supposed to be. Like, not bad. And I'm not a huge Western Kentucky fan, but even as a casual fan, I thought he's a little skinnier. So maybe he'll bulk up before release.
I think this, maybe it's just the angle or something like that, but I think this is a little bit better. Have to kind of see the final product, but it's definitely going to be very fluid and see how things go at the end.
Nice touch having him on the water tower back there too.
Yeah, I think they had that back in 14 back in the day.
Did they?
But it's so much more clear and pronounced now than it was back then, obviously, with the graphical improvements. I know that too with Big Red, like in that first screenshot, his arms are up. So maybe that's why he looked a little skinnier.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that as well. The strange thing I just noticed is the cheerleader behind him is wearing like a black uniform instead of, traditional Western Kentucky red. So I don't know what that means, but it's just kind of strange. I wouldn't think that's WKU, but who knows?
And next we have Oski from Cal. Then we get the opening. We get to see the Buckeye stickers on the Ohio State helmets. Penn State, we're down in the tunnel. Utah, down in the tunnel. LSU, we've seen this footage about four times. I wish they'd splice in, get rid of the old footage. It's great. It looks great. We still have the two big nameplate, but this is now, screaming that's older footage. We've seen it, three or four times now in trailers. Iowa cheerleader and band on the field. We have Sparky planting the spear into the ground. We have Buzz from Georgia Tech.
I'm curious. Obviously, we're getting a lot of them in the beginning, but have we counted how many mascots are in the trailer? We know how many are in the game, but do we know how many are in the trailer?
Between all the trailers, we have seen 30 of them. There's 40 costumed, 10 live mascots, and so far we know 30. I need to type up the list, but that was you snuck ahead of my notes, Tommy. You must have been reading the teleprompter. That is a good question. And one thing to bring up now, we did learn over the past week, there's no Pop-Tarts Bowl mascot. That's one of those. Orlando Media went down, they got to have their media event down there at the studio. It's one of those I'm surprised and not surprised all at the same time. When it happened during bowl season, my thought was, this is kind of late, probably not going to be in. But as time went on, I thought it would be such a marketing win. For the bowl open, for the playing the pop toss, but you don't have to have them dancing on the sidelines. Just have them in the bowl open. We heard about how quickly they could get things scanned and built in the game. So personally, I thought maybe there's a chance, but we found out he will not be in College Football 25, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm sure that also means, like the Idaho Spud is not in the game and, some other bowl game mascot specific to that. So, I mean, it's not a major deal, but it'd be a nice little touch, something to add for the future.
It would have been just a hit in the trailers, because especially the pop cart one, the way it reached to casual fans everywhere, that would have been. But I understand why it's not, but I'm a little bit disappointed and a little bit surprised, but at the same time, not surprised. We have Chip here. We have Nebraska fans throwing the bones. Wilson, I've seen this twice in the trailer. It's a small thing. What in the Walmart brand jerseys font does this poor lady have for the number four? And we see it later on in Utah, I believe, as well. The Utah crowd, they have the weird font. Not a big deal, because number one here back on this gentleman looks normal. Not a big deal, but I don't know where they grabbed that font from. But
where in the 1950s did they get the guy on the right, too?
Yeah, it's...
I'm curious if all the fan uniforms are like the same font and they just throw a logo in the middle of it or something like that.
I would guess it's probably something pretty generic. That I would have thought they would use the most generic college font they could find. This
it's a weird looking four, though.
Definitely not the most generic college font you could find.
No.
It's got its hair slicked back like the guy beside her.
Yeah, old Fonz over there.
We have Iowa entering the field, the Swarm. USC taking the field. Texas A&M, about the third time we've seen this clip. Let's mix it up. I'm tired of seeing A&M. Yep. And the second half of the show, we're going to really be tired of talking about Texas A&M. We have the Jets flying over at Air Force. East Carolina, pretty cool. You can see that he's got the jersey pretty high here. Looks like there's a lot of different options for these players to wear so they stand out and look a little unique.
And the chrome State. On that helmet, as I say, that chrome on that helmet is nicely done. I mean, like, it's got a really high sheen to it. So, I mean, that to me, that I think that's one of the first ones we've seen that's chrome level.
And it's tough to tell in the screenshots, but when you watch the clip live and even in slow motion, it really shines up here at this point where I'm highlighting on the screen. It really stands out and does look sharp. Kennesaw State, we get to see the passing meter in action. And this is something I noticed, and Tommy, you noticed it as well. On the previous show, we talked about what is this icon underneath the player. On the previous show, when we showed our closer look at the score bug, we had these five dash marks. We're on the top half of the circle, and the bottom was the full meter. We wondered what it was. Well, all of a sudden, in this Sights and Sounds trailer, the icon has changed a little bit. Tommy, any thoughts on why?
Yeah, I mean, they've rotated it a little bit. 90 degrees, I guess, counterclockwise, to where that way you can kind of see. Let's assume the ones on the left are the abilities, or wear and tear maybe, or something like that. Whatever it is, you can actually see all five of those now, whereas before they were obscured by the player themselves. So now the stamina's on the right, the wear and tear or abilities or whatever that is on the left. And so you should be able to kind of get a better picture of those throughout the game.
Here we have Kansas State going for a touchdown. Is this the first touchdown we've seen scored in any trailer or clip so far this year? I know last show we wondered if we had saw any scores. We never saw what happened exactly. On this clip, we see several in this trailer. I think this might be the first touchdown we've definitively seen scored. But here we can see him celebrating. The Kansas State fans doing their hand signal or hand sign in the background. We'll talk about that a little later.
A couple back, you can see that one guy with the hooded underneath the jersey in the bottom.
Yep.
See the hood.
Catch. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Catch. As long as you can watch these trailers about 10 times, you would still find new things in it. I know I have today. Every time I watch, I find something new.
I don't know what's up with the butts on the players trailing, though.
It's supposed to be their towels, but I don't know where they got it connected to. Yeah, we will not talk about that.
I don't want to know what it's connected to, but
The fans doing the hang signals. We'll talk about that a little later. They did mention that in the blog. Traditions, we get to see the Stanford mascot, and I thought it was interesting. The Twitter account for the Stanford mascot said this is actually the 2012 version, because the way I remember it and understand it, each year the mascot changes. The fan or the whoever embodies the mascot gets to kind of design or build their own. So that would be a nightmare for EA to change that every year to match it. So I assume they pick one and go with it. And that account said this is the 2012 version.
Yeah, and to me, this is one of the more recognizable versions. I mean, I know they change it every year or whatever, but this is the one that to me is more iconic. And maybe it's because they had it in EA Sports before, but in NCAA before. But yeah, to me, this is the one that kind of screams Stanford.
I agree with that. Now, is that the sturdy he's doing, JB? And that's the one you do on the dance floor. I always forget what you call it.
Yeah.
The video also showed them behind the scenes how they made some of the stuff, and it's pretty impressive and kind of funny at the same time how they built a lot of this stuff, which I know makes the most sense, but just to see people in mocap suits building their own entrance tunnels and ramps. Here, what they hadn't come through was pool noodles to kind of represent the resistance they'd have to put up going through a banner. And so that's what you see here is, yeah, they actually had to fight through something to represent the flag, so they used pool noodles. Here you can see Georgia in their black uniforms, and later on, we will find out that there's a blackout here at Georgia, and we'll talk about the color outs and the crowd theming, as EA likes to call it, here in a few minutes.
Yeah, and it was nice that EA kind of pointed out that, you know, some of the different schools that have those banners and you know, that they're going to be in the game. They mentioned a handful of different schools.
I think they mentioned Louisiana as one of having a kind of a
Yeah.
banner entrance.
Yep,
Yeah, they weren't just
absolutely.
big schools. A lot of Penn State, but when it sounds like the head presentation guy went to Penn State, I can understand why they might got a little more attention. Here's kind of a behind the scenes when they made Florida, you know, kind of in development and the final product. Penn State, I like seeing this, like the developmental side of it, and then when it cuts to the real, what you get to see in retail, I think that's cool and impressive. I like to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, especially the
Yeah, absolutely.
Clemson one right there. Yeah.
Yep. Then on this one, we get to see a play. They built their own two-story ramp to represent the Clemson players coming down. It's funny because you can specifically see that guy, the mocap for the jumping, is shown in the very next clip. Not the same build. He's got to bulk up a little bit, but it worked for him. It works. You can see the skeletons before they touch the Oklahoma and Michigan banners. I'm assuming they use that the same for both.
I wonder if the big guys have as much hops as the little guys do.
That
Like there,
one's
you see the
old
lineman number
78's getting up.
78. Yeah, he's pretty high up there. So,
Oh, do you see Script, Ohio?
and to me, if you go back one shot, that, I mean, honestly, if I handed you this screenshot, you may not know whether it's real or not. I mean, it honestly, that's a very good presentation. Obviously, the more you look around and see the crowd and the sidelines, then yeah, you can kind of start to tell. But otherwise, to me, that looks very authentic.
And I will say that when I watch these trailers, there's elements that look photorealistic. Like there's sometimes the helmets look lifelike. Like Madden's kind of the same way in Madden 24. There's very much elements that when you're playing the game, it looks photorealistic. Like the helmets always look real. Now some other elements don't, or sometimes the animations don't. And we'll talk about that later as well. But I agree with you. This is one of those, if you just look kind of like on the field, quick glance, or if I had a smaller version and showed it, it does look real. I saw some Ohio State fans talking about this. I'm not the biggest expert on their tradition, but don't they usually, when they come in, like the whoever does this, like they're leaned back pretty far. I think they were kind of complaining, or, and I don't mean that meanly, but saying like he should be
Their
a little
mocap
further
guy probably
back.
couldn't do
That,
it.
but
That's best. Best mocap guy can do
think they can take the skeleton and modify it, but I see
it.
you might have a good point there with that.
I will say that I don't know if you captured it here or not, but he does get his leg up pretty high. He doesn't lean as far back, but he does get his leg up pretty high.
That, I think this was the best angle I could get where it wasn't blurry. I
No,
tried to get it.
yep.
We see the Ramblin' Wreck for Georgia Tech here. Pretty impressive. Tommy, you noticed this one. You are the official representative for the Sun Belt. Let me know what's going on with this. Besides the great looking turf they're trying to show here, what's the issue with this?
And hat tip to the coastal fans that pointed this out. Their field art is facing the wrong side of the stadium. You notice in the background is the press box, and obviously traditionally schools would have their logo kind of facing the or kind of leveled off with the bottom of the press box. So in this case, they've kind of got it upside down. The SBC logos, the coastal. Chanticleer in the middle, that all needs to kind of flip upside
The
down.
whole field
So,
need the whole field needs rotated 180 degrees, correct?
exactly, yeah. I did tag
Christian
Christian
Brandt.
Brandt. Yeah, I did tag him, and he did re reply, kind of saying thanks for pointing that out. So maybe it's something they can do a quick fix on. I would assume that's a very, very fast fix. He may have fixed it this afternoon, in fact. But at the same time, yeah, that's something that these are going to be minor things that you're going to see, and it's going to gnaw at you if you're a fan of that school. The big thing is that I would expect that every school is going to have some minor issue with it that, you know, a non-fan wouldn't even notice, but a big fan is going to notice. So, you know, something for us to kind of keep an eye out as the game releases. And that's not necessarily a knock on EA. It's just so much details that you have to get all of them right, or otherwise somebody's going to point it out. So.
I think there's two things you brought up there and didn't even realize it. One is, I hope at some point EA has a way to like people to submit respectfully the issues, team detail issues. Is tagging Christian the preferred methodology? Is there some other way they'd want it? This is one of those, JB and I, 3 years ago on our very first show back, we talked about the goodwill EA had built up. And some of that goodwill in the past was asking the community to get feedback on details. I think a good way to maintain that goodwill is to, you know, have a way here. If you see something wrong, what's the best way to tell them about it? We kind of had hoped on previous shows that this presentation or Sights and Sound blog would show corrections of issues. And that didn't happen, unfortunately. Maybe that'll come, and maybe in retail it'll show up, and everybody will be happy as a clam. So that's the first thing, is I wish they would come out and say, what's the best way to submit issues if anybody sees them? And also a big thing from the blog that I don't think got enough press or enough credit afterwards. EA says that they plan to do stadium updates post-release. So the first one that came to my mind is obviously Texas State. If that second deck didn't get corrected for retail, can that be corrected post-release? And can Northwestern's Lakeside temporary stadium be put in the game? Because if they do, that would be – Northwestern's going to go from – no disrespect, probably not really played or that much in the game, to being probably one of the most played, if that's a big update later in the year when you get to play Lakeside with Northwestern. Because that temporary stadium is pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't imagine EA would do a lot of effort there, because, I mean, it's for two years, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense so that you could have it for this year and next year, sure. But at the same time, after that, you're going to have to totally redo the stadium once they've finished their redesign. So, yeah, I'd be curious to see. But, yeah, things fixing like Texas State, fixing the field art here, things like that, mm-hmm. you know, that would be great if they can fix those throughout the year. So, mm-hmm. You know, back in the old days of PS3, you were limited on how big your patches could be. So
right.
Now in this day and age, you can have, you know, 50 gig patches. So, you know, EA can do a lot with that.
This one we saw, they put that out yesterday for their teaser for today's blog. One thing that said, it looks great, but that band is in the wrong location. And I know it's not a big deal, but I got to stick up for the community here. This was many years ago, going back to, I believe, the development for NCAA Football 12. The team had reached out to the community, to us, to Operation Sports, to other sites, said, help us figure out these band locations. So this is a pretty big flashback. We're only going back about 13 and a half years in time, but somebody's got to stick up for the community here a little bit. We had lots of people, and I want to give new people the idea of what happened in the past, because they may not have a clue what happened on message boards. You know, first of all, what's a message board?
What's a message board?
But secondly, H. Will, good member at the site, he was the one who came, found where Colorado's band was. And guess what? It's still, at least as of 2023, was still the same location. And it was kind of interesting the way we did this back in the day was, this thing got knocked out in like a day and a half. Every band location, guys would come in here, put it where it was, put a link of how they found it or how they knew it. We'd go take an in-game screenshot from NCAA Football 11 and highlight where it was to kind of make it right. So it's one of those, to me, it's frustrating because it was right in the past, and dang it, the community got it right. So I got to stick up for guys like H. Will, and go through this thread at the Gaming Tailgate, you know, guys like Jeff H. Cross. Brian Parker, I remember at the time, did a ton of work on these. So I got to stick up for, they did a lot of work back in the day that I hope was not for nothing. She was a double negative. But so I'm going to stick up for the guys here that it was right in the past. So hopefully that's something EA caught and can correct before retail comes out.
Yeah, as I say, there was a blog or something that talked about that they did have attention to the detail, that the student sections are in the right place and the fans and the are bands in the right place and stuff like that. So, again, the band is just another extension of that. You know, you got to get the teams and the, or excuse me, the fans and the band in the right places.
And maybe they've switched for 2024. I could not find that when I did a quick Google search, but usually you don't see schools move band sections a lot, because then you got to relocate fans, especially season ticket holders, and that never goes over well. So I'm leaning to thinking that's probably accurate, but maybe there's a chance that 2024, this is where they're at.
Was it unless all of that last year?
I looked online for two games in 2023, and they were in 110, which is this section right here above the ADO kind of in Colorado. In this video, they have them directly behind the goalpost, which is not correct. They have them one section off, unless they have changed for 2024, which is a possibility. But I guess
if that whole section is the whole end zone section is all students. So therefore moving them around is not a big deal. I mean, I don't know.
If I remember correctly, the Colorado students are usually behind the visiting team bench. I know that from when they threw snowballs with batteries in them at Nebraska players. There was a year, I don't know, time flies, 10, 15 years ago when they played there. Maybe it wasn't that long ago. The students got kicked out of the game. Like they made all, because it got so bad, the entire student section had to leave the venue during the game. I mean, maybe they moved them. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Colorado fan in the world in terms of following everything they do. But like I said, all I know is from, well, at least in the last over 15 years, they've always been in this section here. Small detail, but it's still the detail. This one I thought was a pretty impressive screen here. The North Carolina player with the turnover belt, or maybe a touchdown, but I'm not sure actually what their tradition actually is for North Carolina. But just visually, that's pretty impressive. I don't know where this gentleman's face mask is down here. Maybe he's wearing a kicker face mask.
No, it's the new, I've seen this new trend of, especially like quarterbacks and things like that, they have the face mask that doesn't have the top bar.
Oh.
It's just going across the cheeks basically, or whatever. It's, I don't like the look of it personally, but
Right.
it's kind of becoming a new trend.
This one, they did quick transition to some of the mascots. We have Ramses, Hokiberg, Super Frog, and Testudo. Purdue Pete, creepy, but very, very realistic, photorealistic in the face. When you see this trailer in live action, they're doing the Boiler Up chant. And in the blog, they mention in the game there are 220 chants among all of the schools. The blog says the entire stadium, for example, at Florida State will do the tomahawk chop. And one of the chants they also mention is that the SEC chant will be in the game. So I suppose if you win a big game with an SEC school, you're going to hear that chant.
You go back to the belt,
I can do
something
that.
interesting at the top. That's a metal plate. It's not supposed to be folded in half.
Well,
I just looked at the a photo of the belt, and it's just like, your regular WWE belts that
right.
have the side plates. That's a plate. That's a metal side plate. That's not a just fabric that's folding in half. So
That is a good point.
it's not supposed to be folded like that. So I thought
You're
that
really
was
getting the,
interesting.
that's pretty deep in the details,
Yeah,
but that is a good catch. Once you point it out, though,
well,
I can't
when I
not see
saw it folded, I'm like, that's a plate. How is that folded?
it. We That's
got
funny.
band locations, we got visiting fan locations, and we got fold locations.
Howard's Rock, we've seen this numerous times. Here we get to what the team in the blog calls crowd theming, and the community back in the day, we always called this the color outs or stripe outs. A long standing community request coming in the game. I think what is impressive is that there are over 170 of these color crowd theming or color outs for schools that have them in real life. And we've heard through the media reports that there's some in the game that we don't even know about yet because they haven't happened in real life. Like schools have notified them on this date, we're doing this color out or this theme out. The game's going to happen. I think it's pretty impressive. What it does leave us wondering is how do you select or activate these crowd themes? Makes maybe the Georgia of the black uniforms, does that trigger the blackout in the stadium? Do certain dates trigger certain color ones? Like we know Texas A&M has their red, white, and blue. If you play that around, say, the weekend of 9/11, does that come up? Just that's one of the things we do not know yet, if you can pick them manually or if they trigger on their own for certain occasions. We also know, courtesy of the blog, that there is dynamic attendance and home field advantage is also dynamic. I know we're going to talk about toughest places to play here in a few minutes. People were wondering, well, do the rankings matter if they can change throughout Dynasty? And it sounds like they will change throughout Dynasty like we had back in the day. The blog also mentions, yes.
I was going to say, regarding the dynamic attendance, I know they mentioned that from game to game it's going to change. Is it going to change throughout the game? So, like, if you're getting blown out in the fourth quarter, are all your fans going to leave?
I don't know if they said that. I don't think they said that in the blog.
I think, didn't we have that in the past, though? I mean,
Yes.
I may,
Yes.
yeah, that at least every quarter or something like that, or maybe it's more often than that, but it would kind of, fans would file out of the game.
Yep. No, that you're correct. That was in the past. The blog mentions, and we see this throughout the trailer, some of the fans will hold things specific to certain schools, like pom-poms at certain schools or towels at certain schools. One example they also give is Tiger Tails at Missouri. And the student section in the game, they will stand the entire game. As we saw with the North Carolina earlier, touchdown and turnover traditions, the UNC belt, the Colorado turnover throne, and cannons, though also in the game. So quite a bit of traditions in there as well.
It was very interesting during the cannons. They were talking about that they rebuilt replicas that were true to life of the size and weight and everything like that, so that, when you're pulling on a cannon, it's not going to go halfway across the screen. It actually kind of
Right.
translates correctly on screen. So that was kind of a nice little nod there. And then in some of the blog, they showed where they rebuilt, I'm assuming it was the keg of nails, that they rebuilt a mock-up of that. It's kind of neat.
Here we see Travis Hunter gets his moment in the turnover throne. Here's kind of the mocap where they would, here they built the axe, and you can see them celebrating and transitions right to what it looks like in the game.
That Testudo, to me, that looks great. I mean, again, looks very lifelike and everything. That's, you know, a great shot.
Here you have, yep, Northern Illinois. Here's an interesting one, Wisconsin, a sign error. In real life, this is supposed to be on the upper right, Big Ten champions. They have Big Ten West in there twice, which is kind of funny because the divisions are gone this year in the Big Ten. So I'm sure Wisconsin in real life is probably doing some kind of edit to this side, whereas the game now, it looks like it's going to have Big Ten West twice, and the divisions are long gone. Small error, but still nonetheless, it's one of those that West on the upper right should not be there. Play like a champion today. That's something we've seen quite a bit. Alabama cheerleader with the A sign. Here we have Smokey taking the field, one of the live mascots. Players taking the field, running between the band with the tunnels. We see that throughout the trailer as well. Here, Georgia Tech's band on the field. Arkansas running through that A. Duke, we've seen this before. Baylor taking the field. Tommy, you had mentioned these green jerseys.
The Baylor just announced those like a month ago, something like that, and showed them in on Twitter. So it's kind of neat to actually, this is kind of your first look at them in the game. Obviously, you would have them on, you would see pictures of them on the of the players modeling them, but you know, actually seeing them come out in those is kind of a nice touch.
It does not look like their students line them as they come out. There's been a guy on Twitter, a Baylor fan, kind of asking if the line will be out there. And that's something that, at least to date, in the two times we've seen Baylor now, they are not on the band's out there, but the stu I believe it's students in yellow shirts, not there. Here we see that kind of the development of the Nittany Lion, and it transitions into what you see in the game, which I think is always a cool effect.
Napoleon Dynamite down there in the bottom right.
They
God.
show the mascot doing the push-ups. Obviously, again, not every school is going to have a mascot, so I wonder if they'll substitute that with a cheerleader in some cases, or because a lot of schools do something like that as well.
Right. Or the ROTC will come out and do after a score, for example.
Yeah, exactly.
The Demon Deacon riding out. We've seen that before. Sparty, we've seen that before. Always a tough place to play. We'll talk about that later. The Husky taking the field. Ralphie in development. Bad hair day, but still looking good.
Somebody did a side-by-side screenshot of Ralphie, and from 14 to now, it's honestly it's incredible how much it's changed. Obviously, it's an animal mascot, but just the detail that they go into.
That's one of the things that watching this, the work that the artists had to do over the last few years, just a ton of work. I mean, they deserve a lot of credit for what all the work they put in here.
Absolutely.
Here, Ugga looking good. Boom out there. Reveille taking the field. Purdue with the world's largest bass drum taking the field in the Boilermaker special. Here's an interesting one. We have Army getting the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. This background, I know Mishy Field is getting a renovation. I don't think they're getting a second or third deck in their stadium. Army Navy this year does play at Commander's Field. So I think we can take this as confirmation that Commander's Field will be in the game for the Army Navy game. I looked at the photos of Commander's Field where the Washington Commanders play. The lighting definitely matches. These colors up here don't, but I think that might be to cover up the ads or just whatever EA wanted to put up for background colors. But the lighting definitely looks like the structure you get at Commander Stadium.
Are those like blocked off areas on the upper decks, or is that kind of the dynamic crowd?
I think the crowds here, I think this is in real life is signage. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's not right, whatever it is, but I don't know. It looks weird with that purple and green, especially.
Yeah, those stand out for sure. Something I noticed with this, and obviously there's no confirmation of this, but the main players that you see in this clip, from Army, they all match up with real life players that are starting players. Number 13 is their returning quarterback from last year. He's pinned as the starter for this year. Number 21 is in their starting lineup for running back based upon spring practice, and number 85 is their tight end, again based upon spring practice depth chart. So to me, that kind of suggests that they may be in the game. But at the same time, obviously we don't have any names here or anything like that. But for them to truly all three match up like that, as you know, as in this clip, to me, that again, that leans towards them being in the game. I know we've kind of had that debate back and forth and never heard confirmation, I don't think so.
And those jerseys don't have names on them anyways, right?
It just has Army on the back. At least it did in the previous trailer. I know some of the media guys have said that they believe the service academy players will be in, but nope, there's been, like you said, nobody has come out exactly and said yes, they will be in the game. Clemson mascot looking good. Creepy but good. I don't know whose school this is, but dang, that waterfall should look sharp.
Yeah,
some jabroni, honestly, Sun Belt school.
To me, this is an impressive shot. Not just the waterfall. I mean, it's kind of a nice touch, but the mat on the helmet looks really good. The jerseys themselves are almost exactly spot on. The one thing I will note, last year we didn't wear mat helmets at all. We
surprise.
We wore them in 2022, but never with the Wolf logo. So I'm curious if that's going to be new for this year, or if EA just kind of mixed past with present or something like that.
I like the lighting with the waterfall too. That's pretty neat.
The lighting looks really good in this game, generally speaking, like between like day and night, these screenshots we've seen in clips. That's one thing I've been really impressed with.
For sure. Yeah. You can tell this is a night game and that the lights are on and the reflection, even in the matte helmet and things like that. Yeah. It looks really good. And even the lights are on in the press box.
Yeah.
The fan seats up at the top. Yeah. That's kind of another nice little touch.
Makes it look real. We talked about that in a previous show, like I believe it was Missouri. It makes it look real. Here's another look at it. I like the different colored vests for the media on the sidelines as well. Even if the guys are twins, I like that they have different colored vests than some of the other ones.
Yeah, it looks like they missed our Ring of Honor there, where it says Arkansas State. That's our Ring of Honor for past players and stuff like that. So obviously they wouldn't have license for those players, but would have liked to see something different there. But all in all, that's a minor thing.
Here we get more of the hand signs. Here's Nevada doing the Wolfpack, or NWO, as JB likes to say. I know some of these clips. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Some of these, it's just kind of the front row. It's kind of, I don't want to say that, you know, the camera's tilted so you see the front and think more fans are doing it than really are. So I think it's interesting that they did mention, like we mentioned earlier, the Florida State Tomahawk Chop, they mentioned the whole stadium does that. So I'm going to guess we get a panoramic shot for that, or at least a wide angle shot.
Yeah, you mentioned Nevada here has the Wolfpack. They also mentioned in the blog NC State has the Wolfpack hand signal. Arkansas State has the exact same hand signal. So I'm assuming that, you know, those, they're just going to translate it where it overlaps the same thing, that they can just reuse it. So that's, you know, an easy thing for them.
In the blog, they mentioned that the hand signals, for example, will happen after positive plays, which at the time I thought that means no horns down. And then sure enough, an hour later, Chris Vanini came out and said he could report that there will be no horns down in the game this year, which I think we expected a long time ago.
I'm sure EA probably didn't even try to ask for that. Yeah. I mean, that's one that they're not going to get.
They knew they wouldn't get, and be a bad Texas would be upset. So
it puts a sour taste in their mouth.
I'd take that 15-yard flag every time.
Here we have Ball State doing their, I believe, the chirp hand icon.
Yeah, this one, if you look at their, if the video, I'm pretty sure that you do have the whole crowd, not just the front row, but the whole crowd doing.
I agree.
At least in some cases, they're going to have the whole ones, which is, it's better than back in the day. They would just literally have the front three people celebrating and everybody else sitting still behind them or whatever.
Here we did get some gameplay. Some things I noticed, and I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, especially the community, let me know if we're off base with this. On a lot of these breakaway scores, I don't know if something with the running animation, to me, it seemed like their backs were too straight or it didn't move enough. I'm not sure what it was from this angle. And also some head tracking. I don't know if it just kind of, you know, they just look around randomly, but it seems like once they get within so close to the sideline, they probably should not be looking to the sideline. They should always be looking back towards the field. Maybe you can tell yourself he's looking at the cheerleaders or looking at the cameras. But
girlfriends. The girlfriends are back. He's looking at his girlfriend.
Just seemed a little weird in this clip when he shot his head over here when he really shouldn't have.
Yeah, the Auburn clip has the same thing where they're running back the two-point conversion. The only argument I can make is he's trying to look over his shoulder to see if anybody's right behind him. But like you said to me, that
he's looking the wrong way.
Well, it's looking the wrong way, but he shouldn't be doing that, especially that close to the end zone. And you can't really turn your head, you know, 90 degrees sideways like that anyways. So.
Yeah. It's like looking at the ref. The ref's just shrugging.
I mean, it is a female referee, so you never know.
Here's another look at the new or changed icon, at least from the last show we did. Who knows what next show after the Dynasty Deep Dive, maybe it'll be
flipped.
It's going to be flipped the other side. Here we get to see a touchdown, and we wondered how they would do the celebration. It pops up here, which, granted, we haven't played it, so maybe we'll have a different opinion, but I do like the look of this way more than Madden. I always felt that Madden's was just so intrusive and really just took you out of the moment, where at least watching this, I didn't get that same feel seeing it pop up. You know, it's, yes, you see it to remind you to do it, but it doesn't take you out of the moment with a big pop up like Madden has.
For sure. And I was watching Good Game Bro Dougie. He mentioned that the celebrations are basically like Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter moves, to where there's a combination. So the nice thing is you can kind of redo those same ones every time if you wanted to, whereas in Madden it's kind of random and you never know what you're going to get. So I mean, it's a nice touch if you wanted to be able to do that.
So the horns down might be hidden. You just got to find the code.
Exactly. Yeah, up up down down.
I believe the gameplay blog, it mentioned that you can, the pause menu, you can go in and see the controls for the celebrations. And maybe I'm imagining this. Didn't they say also that some are kind of hidden? I want to think I saw somewhere, someplace that said there might be some in there that they're not, they won't get listed at least.
But and that's kind
of
like,
know,
yeah.
If you know the combinations of all the other celebration controls, you could probably can figure out what ones to try.
And yeah, it's just like right out of the Mortal Kombat playbook. They'll have some hidden fatalities, you know, or different types of fatalities. And so here it's like, yeah, maybe there's some maybe this is where some of the Easter eggs are, is some team specific celebrations that you got to try to find.
Here again, we can see more of the touchdown celebration. Here's the Michigan fans with the pom-poms. Florida fans, I like the face that they, I noticed that when I watched it, that the face on that cheerleader there's pretty funny.
Huh?
Florida fans doing the gator chomp.
Yeah, and that, again, you can see the whole stadium doing it all at the same time.
Upper deck, yeah, up in the upper deck and everything.
One thing the blog
somebody's got a cell. Go back to the floor. Somebody's got a cell phone in there, or several people have a cell phone in their hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the left hand side. Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah.
They're not living in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Record it. They were on Twitter and they scored a touchdown, so they got to act like they know what they're doing with the chomp.
How about a selfie?
One thing the blog mentioned is that they used ESPN crowd reaction audio. They took that from ESPN. And the team also went to about 42 games and recorded crowd audio. So a lot of the audio you hear is either going to be from what ESPN recorded and gathered or what the EA went out and got themselves. Here, I thought this one looked just graphically, it looked really sharp. I don't know what the difference between what EA did on this compared to some other clips in these trailers. But just looked really sharp. But didn't have any blur when I went in to edit and get the screen grabs. Just the whole thing looked... I don't know quite what the celebration was supposed to be. Maybe I'm not up to date, but
yeah, I was curious that myself. Is it supposed to be, you know,
I know,
like a drink going to the side of his head or something like that? I don't know.
Thought a drink at first too, but then he put it to his ear. So then I was confused at what that was.
Some more Ohio State slander too, right there.
Yeah, that's what you sent earlier. You said those poor Buckeyes getting trounced again. Somebody else scoring on them. They never get the lead in these clips. Here, the S in the Penn State crowd looks good.
I just noticed at the bottom it shows the rivalry logo there. So I'm guessing if there's a trophy or something like that, it'll be there as well.
Well, yes. And it seems like it's a rivalry. They get this default one unless they have a specific logo. And also Allstate appears to be a sponsor. We're kind of wondering ourselves behind the scenes at what point will some of the in-game sponsorships come out. And so far, this is the first one that I know of, at least, is Allstate. Here's Penn State fans with the pom-poms. This is an interesting clip. We're not going to play with the audio because I'm sure it probably wouldn't stick on YouTube anyway. This is what the guys who, YouTubers and the media who went down to the event a few weeks ago, this is the Mobamba clip they talked about, matched in real life where Michigan just couldn't hear. And maybe you can let me know, guys. I don't know if they've said this specifically, but it looks like during this clip, they try to hike the ball because we get that screen movement, but it never happens. Then Michigan takes the delay of game. Are they trying to imply, and maybe I'm being denser, are they implying that if you're on the road, and this is a very tough environment, as you can see, if you don't hike, you know, your center may not always recognize when you press X to hike the ball. So maybe you better do it earlier in the play clock than later. Am I reaching on that?
Well, you notice quarterback creation. You notice the quarterback's cold too, so that I wonder if that has any effect in combination with the stadium kind of rocking.
Did you notice that, Tommy, about them not hiking it?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Like you said, it may just be a matter of that's something when the stadium pulse is going all the way up, you have to kind of be aware of that. The other thing to note, just like JB mentioned, he's cold, but this would indicate it's actually the beginning of the game.
Beginning of the game, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. 6 minutes left. They've been playing on 6 minute quarters on some of the other clips. So he starts off cold. So that's kind of curious.
Maybe he's been slumping. Well, maybe if you're slumping, you start out cold even.
Yeah, or it could just be if he's got lower awareness in the stadium, in a rough stadium, he's going to start out cold. I don't know.
And so that that awareness could be also tied into like where they couldn't snap the ball. If he's maybe he's rattled maybe and not thinking of looking at the play clock maybe or something like that.
Yeah, that may be. The other thing that I just now noticed, the tight end and the linebacker across from him each have the star indicator, but nobody else does. So I don't know what that means. But yeah, it's kind of a strange little touch there.
This could be, I would say it could be an older clip because obviously if the media guy saw it a while ago and, you know, EA had this queued up to show, you know, recreating the moment, but then it's got what we believe to be the updated player indicator icon underneath. So who knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose we'll have to find out maybe later when gameplay clips finally emerge. Here's what we're going to get a flag. We get the big icon in the middle. No, you can't see it here, but I thought at least the quarterback's helmet, when I watched the trailer live, looked photorealistic, looked really sharp. Here you can see, I believe it's Iowa. The stadium striped out. This is an interesting one because we saw this screenshot before, but the crowd was not in the checkerboard formation at Tennessee. Here, they very much are in the checkerboard formation. Again, we don't know exactly what triggers that. I believe it kind of seems like it might be the bigger games or November games they get this. But it has not been spelled out for us how exactly you get these crowd theming or color outs to occur.
I would be curious, you know, with all these custom, you know, layouts for fans and everything like that, the color outs, I wonder if there's going to be any possibility of being able to do that in Team Builder. Obviously, building your own school and everything like that, to me, that
Set
would be
yourself.
Something fairly easy to do. But at the same time, obviously, it's going to depend upon what your stadium is and things like that. So,
yeah, that'd be pretty cool to make it your own there, especially if you're making, you know, if you have some FCS schools that are that kind of have that same type of deal, or if you just want to make your own, you know, and just invent your own kind of crowd thing, that'd be definitely a cool thing to add for Team Builder if they could.
I would have to say JB stinks. It's spelled out in the crowd sections. I could see somebody taunting their rival with that. If you could do something like that, that's almost too good.
As I said, that may be where they cut the line.
Yeah.
Now they just shelved it.
Yeah,
thanks
they
to
just.
You.
They got to cancel. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yeah.
Another clip we've seen about two or three times. No offense. I'm tired of seeing it. Here's Georgia with the blackout. This is wearing the black jerseys. I don't know. Is that the trigger? To me, it makes sense. We'll have to probably wait till retail to find out. Another good look at it.
Isn't that the same generic cheerleaders that were with the Western Kentucky guy too?
I think the outfits are all the same. They just changed the color and put a different logo on the chest.
So that almost looks like the same colors, even like it was almost like a Wake Forest cheerleader or something in the, at least in the Western Kentucky one, or a Purdue cheerleader.
Yeah, I'd be curious as well. Like you said, to me, the colors are off even on this one. They don't seem to be red, but you know, it's hard to say from this angle.
I thought this was a pretty cool shot at BYU with their stadium striping, and you get the mountains in the background. I've noticed any shot that kind of gives you an aerial background, I've been pretty impressed with the quality of how that looks in game.
Yeah, it definitely looks good. I will say I've seen several people point out that this, and I think it was Colorado, that the mountains don't line up one to one. I mean, like the peaks and valleys and things like that are really not kind of lined up to what you would see in real life. Like this seems more like a mound, whereas in BYU, I think it was more of like a true tall peak, if I'm not mistaken. That could just be the angle or who knows, but you know, again, minor things, not a big deal, but
no, at the same time, I get it.
They couldn't get the license for the mountain, so
yeah.
Coors Light had the rights to that. Here's an interesting one, the fans for Utah doing the U.
Kind of
here we
black
got that
number.
Here's the font. Here's that magical four font that just will not go away. That we don't know where it came up. I think what's real sweet and romantic here. Oh, you like the U? I also like the U. Let's do the U together.
Oh,
isn't that romantic and sweet?
Do they have black numbers with red on a jersey like that?
Off the top of my head, I didn't think so, but I know they have a lot of uniform combinations. I could be wrong on that. I would have to look into that.
The guy behind him is like, yeah.
He's way too excited back there.
Friendship.
We got the Big Mo marching Mizzou bass drum here.
Doesn't that look bigger than the other drum?
Don't tell Purdue they're going to have to rescan it.
But it's
it.
Not
You're
named
right.
The world's largest drum.
Yeah.
I mean, that looks bigger, man. Maybe the camera's lower or something, but, you know.
Yeah, now that you say that it does look, I think it's the angle, but that's a good question. Is Expedition
I mean,
a real company for bass drum dollies? Does anybody know any bass drum dolly experts out there in the crowd? Here, another kind of a pregame shot, North Carolina and Boston College. Another crowd shot here. Dogs spelled out painted on their chest. I'm assuming we'll probably get that from some other schools as well. Washington fans in the rain making the W.
The jackets are wet too.
Yeah, wearing the.
Yeah, that does look good.
That looks pretty good.
Problem is, there's way too many fans here.
Yeah, as I say, that's not realistic.
Army. One thing they mentioned in the blog and in the video, you know, weather accurate clothing. But Tommy, you noticed some stuff here with the fans in the crowd. Yes, they got stocking caps going on. And it's cold.
Yeah, but
that could be the student section, and students are idiots. So maybe that's what it is.
No, I mean,
I think
I don't know where this
Jeremy,
is at.
Think
but,
about it. Put two and two together.
The student section. They don't wear coats.
High school students in the area, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot more people wearing short sleeves than there should be for a snow game. So
yeah, and plus you see like the guy with the vest on the field there. He's not wearing a jacket, really.
I'm assuming they just have one model for the media.
Yeah.
Media is gonna. Have
I mean,
to tough
that
it
I'm
out.
Less worried about, but yeah, I mean, if you're gonna say that we got cold weather fans, then you know.
But you could see the snow building on the blue tent though, the medical tent.
Yeah, that's an interesting touch.
Yeah, you can see the kind of the wear on the field and the hash mark showing. That looks good. Looks real good. Here we have a look at UCF, and during the video you get to hear the chant going on. One thing that's interesting I noticed, I didn't notice it live when I watched it, but when I took the screen grab, the player, his last name is Boomer. They're not giving you an update on the kick quality. His last name is Boomer.
Oh.
And it somehow went up in the air.
Oh,
I said it live, I did not notice it. But when I went in slow motion and took the screen grab, I actually didn't even notice it during the screen grab. It's when I went back and looked at it afterwards that, oh, his name flew in the air, I think, with the football. That's
I just thought the game was calling me a Boomer.
they are, JB.
Okay.
Okay, Boomer.
Then broadcast and commentary. Not a lot here to really show, but we can talk about the blog. Had some good information. You'll get Kirk and Chris for the game of the week, conference championship games, and all of the playoff games. Reese, Jesse, and David will do the rest of your games, and that goes for Dynasty and Road to Glory. So you better just plan, especially if you're doing any kind of a rebuild. You're not going to get Herbstreit or Fowler for quite a while. And what's interesting, we had somebody in the community ask us, well, what about Desmond Howard? And it was one of the media guys who went down to the event. Only person I saw say this, Desmond's involved with Ultimate Team. I don't know if he's doing like an intro. I don't know if he's introduced his card throughout the. I don't know what his role is, but he mentioned that Desmond Howard, what his commentary role is within Ultimate Team.
That'd be pretty cool, though. You know, like with what we've always done with our online dynasty, starting with a 1-star school, it's going to be pretty cool to be playing and playing and playing, and then you finally get the Fowler and Herbstreit game. That's going to be kind of cool as you.
Well, they did mention conference championship game, so you know
you won't make that anyway. So,
well, maybe not. But
and they do mention that each team will be available in play now. So the way I take that wording to mean that if you do a play now game, you can pick which crew you want to call your game. And we've had a lot of fans ask us, Josiah Forsyth in the comments, Lorenzo Jordan asking us, can we pick it? You play now, it sounds like you can.
I'm guessing the same way you would pick weather. It's probably on the same screen or something like that.
Do you think it pops up their faces and they kind of like beg you to pick them? Like, pick me. One broadcast thing is mentioned in the blog list before we go on to the next gameplay stuff here real quick. It mentions that studio updates with Kevin Connors, which we knew about. It will include updates of games from your online Dynasty members if they completed the game before yours. And I'm assuming if it matches up time-wise with the schedule. On the play call screen, JB, last show you talked about in the upper right, you know, wouldn't it be cool if they showed information there? Well, between the Hardcore Gamers report from going to the media event and this blog, they have over 400 different panels that will show in that upper right. You can give stats, rankings, wear and tear. it sounds like. So yes, you will be getting information on that play call screen. So there is a even more to watch in that play or play call screen than we previously imagined.
Yeah, the cut-ins of your online dynasty, you know, other games that have already been completed, you know, it's going to be user games as well. So in the past it was only simulated computer games. And so now you can actually see, I hadn't looked at the results, but now I see that JB's tied at the half or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of cool to see they cut in to a play, like you can show, they show a play from your game or something. That'd be kind of cool.
I'd be shocked if we ever get that, but
you never know. They with the commentary, they were kind of showing it. And Fowler mentioned this in one of his videos, in his progress updates of recording commentary, that they recorded everything. This one, that was the example of the pick two in overtime. And as they go in, again, the head tracking was a little weird. I'm not so sure. Maybe it's different when we get retail and play it. Something's a little too stiff in their bat because they don't bounce enough. If the back is too stiff, I'm not really sure what's going on. But I definitely did notice it in that clip again. But then you get something cool like that. So that middle part of your scoreboard is kind of be where it pops up. Like in the past, it came above the score bar here, right in the middle. But look at Florida State and their entrance. We don't see Osceola or Renegade yet. We know we've been told they're in the game. We have not seen them yet. A clip we've seen before, Iowa doing the wave to the children in the hospital. The fans doing the same.
That guy's face.
I think that guy's hair. I've noticed that on several of the crowd models. Just pretty good thick head of hair. Kind of funny. Donovan Edwards doing the Heisman pose in North Carolina. They look pretty sharp in this game. I noticed their uniforms and field look good in this clip. That is our breakdown of the Sights and Sounds deep dive video. Guys, anything you want to say before we get to our toughest places to play debate?
All in all, I have to say EA knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be small things here and there that people are going to notice and not like or whatever. But in general, the feel of what we've seen so far, honestly, mm-hmm. to me is a far and above what I kind of expected. I mean, I agree. For the first time coming back, it really does look very nice. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're going to stick on to them and try to get some of these other things fixed throughout over the next year or so. But mm-hmm. at the same time, this first version of the game to me looks very, very good.
Yeah, and very good blog by Christian Brand as well. Mm-hmm. It was very lengthy. There's a lot of stuff in that blog that was on the site there today as well. So something you didn't really maybe expect for Sights and Sounds blog, but went very in depth with a lot of mm-hmm. great stuff there. So
and they added so much, like they could have added more. I mean, yeah. If somebody said it was lacking, I could also see their point. But I think, generally speaking, there was a lot in there between the video and blog. But it seems like there's a lot of Christian McLeod mentioned with Andy Staples, there's going to be Easter eggs as well. We don't know exactly what that means yet. Maybe it's just some details for smaller schools that they don't want to let out of the bag. But a lot going on yet. Tuesday, EA released the toughest places to play in EA Sports College Football 25. A lot of people thought initially those earlier trailers had, leaked a lot of the top teams. Well, we find out when they put the official list out, there was some movement and some debate afterwards. Several national media outlets, they had segments devoted to this, talking about it and frankly criticizing some of the picks, namely Texas A&M at number one. We had Andy Staples talking about it. He put out his top 10 list. Crane and Company criticized it. They put out their top 10 list. A lot of it kind of boiled down to Texas A&M being number one. A lot of good jokes involved as well. I'm sure you guys saw that. What we did at the Gaming Tailgate, we went through and looked at their last 10 years and last 3 years. The last 10 years to get kind of a historical feel. Last 3 years to kind of figure out, okay, recently, are they trending up or trending down in terms of how they've been playing at home, their home winning streak, and their 23 stadium capacity. Why do we pick those? The blog said that the development team worked to compile a list of the top 25 toughest places, factoring in historical stats such as home winning percentage, home game attendance, active home winning streaks, team prestige, and more. As I joked in the comments of this, the "and more" is carrying a lot of weight here. Because when you look at the stats, it doesn't quite match up with the rankings. A&M number one, and everyone who's criticized it, and I would agree with this, considers A&M a great venue, a tough place to play, but not the toughest place to play. That's one of those that the joke, and I'll be honest. 18
teams are going to say that there.
I thought it was kind of Why did I take these stats? Because first off, they were the easiest to get from Phil Steele's magazine when I was trying to get this done in about an hour yesterday. But some people went through and saw that since they joined the SEC, they're 28-20 at home, for example, in conference play. So the joke online was, Kyle Field is so tough to play in, even A&M can't win there.
Well, so good point.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, even smaller schools, App State a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. albeit 16 years ago, Arkansas State beat them at home as well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's to me that
are they going too historical here?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I saw some people, like some media people saying, you know, back in 1988, Notre Dame was the hardest stadium to play in. You know, to yeah. me, again, that shouldn't matter. But Texas mm-hmm. A&M. Again, I'm sure it's a difficult stadium if you're there mm-hmm. visiting, but at the same time, it doesn't match up to their on the fields. You know, it doesn't help them win games, basically.
I think part of this is if I told you this list included where EA put a lot of traditions in and a lot of unique things for the game factor, I think that's the and more. Like, these are the stadiums. What if I told you guys these are the top 25 stadiums that have cool things that EA put in the game? Does it become more believable? I would say yes.
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, again, you still have schools like South Carolina that, to me, shouldn't be on this list. And then there's other schools that absolutely should be on this list. Like, I don't mm-hmm. think Oklahoma State's on this list. Actually, you have them there. Yeah. To me, there's definitely some mm-hmm. schools that are easy misses that, you know, it should be more than just traditions. It should be truly.
I agree.
How loud does it get? What's their winning percentage? You know, how much do they truly impact the game?
The three that stood out to me, like I didn't think should be in here, or at least should be lower, were probably South Carolina, Arkansas, and Michigan State. But I would say even Auburn's a tough one because I know historically it has a reputation of being pretty tough. But when you look at their 10-year and 3-year, I think they should be lower than 14th. I understand there's this debate of, you know, what makes team grades. Is it obviously, Georgia a tough place to play because of everything else going on, or is it tough because you're playing Georgia? And the same goes for Alabama as well. So I understand. I don't envy whoever made this list, but it seemed like it was the big debate became A&M shouldn't have been number one. And you get down here, some of these schools, Boise State, the only group of five school in there.
Some of these schools having people sit in people's laps, or
I think they count like the media and concessions as part of the attendance. A lot of schools do that. They count that as part of the actual attendance. So the capacity might be 78,000, but then you have another 1,000 security, and I think some even count players. Don't quote me on that. So but I think that's how you're getting these higher numbers of like 101.5.
Yeah, and then you look like at Virginia Tech, they're barely 500. I mean, and have they really ever been a traditional tough place to play? Is it more of a
they were
cool
good.
Place? Is it a cool place because they have Enter Sandman, you know, but are they truly an intimidating place for the other team?
I would say in terms of the ACC, yeah, they're probably, you know, an intimidating place in general. Yeah, mm-hmm. they've had a rough streak, you know. So I mean, in terms of mm-hmm. being in the top 25, maybe not, but at the same time, it is. I've been to a game there, and it's honestly the crowd is really loud and really gets into that Enter Sandman, and even just throughout the rest of the game. So now I've not been to all the rest of these stadiums, so I can't say where it should fit, but you know, it definitely is in the conversation. But
and I think Michigan at 16 seemed a little low. I know people. Even Michigan fans admit they're not the loudest stadium because their stadium is more flat, so the sound doesn't stay in, the sound gets out. But when you think about how consistent they've been as a program, generally speaking, especially at home, and they have a 22-game home winning streak, I think they should have been a little higher. But I haven't been to most of these, but so I understand the debate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they could somehow do this, but work with ESPN that, you know, obviously they go to all these stadiums to get a decibel rating from on the field or something like that of how loud these stadiums actually get and, you know, things like that. To me, that's kind of some more of the factors of what it should be. Mm-hmm. Do they sell out? Do they, you know, do they truly get that loud? You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then as well, obviously the tradition of the school having a winning program over the past 3, 5, 10 years.
And say Michigan State and Arkansas also stood out. Like Virginia Tech, I can understand being in the top 25. I thought they should have been lower. But Michigan State and Arkansas, you know, Michigan State just got a new coach. They've had issues. Arkansas, Pittman's about on his way out. I know we can't have too much of a recency bias here. But at the same time, like they haven't been winning at home. They haven't been winning, period, because they're having coaching issues.
Yeah.
And you look at the last 3 years, all of a sudden it's, so that makes me think some of these is they must have a lot of cool traditions for Arkansas. Like they probably have a color out. They probably have the Wupiksuwi. We saw the A entrance. I think that played a role in the decision making. I honestly do. The more traditions they had in the game, I think they got a little bit of a boost.
Honestly, at least some part of it is a big game boomer type list to where it generated a ton of just responses of people saying, no, Tennessee shouldn't be that high, or, you know, Texas A&M shouldn't be number one. You know, it was literally a conversation driver, and it got them, you know,
it worked.
I don't know if they showed up on ESPN or anything like that, but it at least got them in conversations that they wouldn't normally have been in.
It's like that Forbes article that just came out on the best 50 rappers. They had Tyler, the Creator, over Snoop Dogg. I mean, so it's to get people to share it and say, this is ridiculous. Not this is saying this is ridiculous, but it gets people sharing it and saying, no, this ain't right. You know, The Athletic broke it down pretty good. I saw a good article on The Athletic breaking it down. They said the same thing about number one being kind of questionable as well. But yeah, it's a little weird, especially with the rivalries, you know, and, you know, Penn State obviously being up there and Ohio State being up there, but yet Michigan's been trouncing them over the last 3 years, and yet they're way behind.
I think the teams that have the biggest, there's about seven or eight here, but I thought the three that probably should have got in were Oklahoma State, Washington, and NC State. And I'm not saying they should have been number one, but just for the numbers they've put up, I thought should have been at least been maybe the 20 to 25. Oklahoma State, not really sure why they weren't in there. I know they did lose at home last year to South Alabama, which wasn't a good look, but South Alabama ended up being a good team.
Yeah. They missed on some schools that are obvious. I know Boise State has a tradition of winning at home, but at the same time, is it a tough place to play, or is it just because they've only had, you know, moderately easy wins at home? You know, they're not in a Power Five conference.
I think, and they were the only group of five in here. So I thought that was interesting. I think that maybe that blue turf tradition was enough to sneak them in and just
Be
known as a unique thing. Washington, you know, they've won 14 in a row. Now, granted, DeBoer's first year, they weren't great at home, but then they've reeled off 14 straight since. So and then NC State, I think a lot of that maybe just lack of a national reputation for a tough place to play. I mean, they have a good record. They kind of fly under the radar.
Again, for the ACC, they're considered one of the tougher places to play. It does get pretty loud and things there. Again, I don't know that they should be in the top 25, but at the same time, they are in the conversation. And to me, more than South Carolina.
And to wrap up here, one of the UCF is, we thought maybe they might get the boost, you know, being a lot of developers' favorite team or favorite program nearby. I mean, you know, pretty good record, and they're known for being a loud crowd. But I think what happened, you know, I looked a little deeper, like, why did they not get in there? 9-4 at home in the last 2 years, and they had three losses where they were a 7+ point favorite. So I don't know if that's specifically why EA did not put them in. It doesn't mean they're not number 26 on the list. I'm sure they're all rated behind the scenes. We don't know it. So it's one of those, I'm sure, like, all these schools that we think have a chance to say they were snubbed are probably pretty close to being in the top 25.
The other thing that they did make sure to mention is that this is going to be fluid throughout the season. So, I mean, if somebody's having a really poor season, then they will drop. I'd be curious if EA themselves will release updated, you know, as they release roster updates and things like that, will they also update the list of this, you know, throughout the actual real life season?
And we know from the blog that it sounds like in Dynasty, this is also dynamic. Be interesting to see how they, if they do, you know, do a update on the front end
for like play now games.
How do you decide that? Yeah, I mean, do you update the rankings? Are you updating the ratings? And what if somebody wants to keep the initial roster set? Can you keep the initial roster set with all of this information? There's, for as much as we know about the game, there's still so much more we don't know about the game. So with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast, breaking down that Sights and Sounds blog and video. It's rankings week for EA Sports College Football 25. On Thursday, we're going to get the top offenses and defenses. On Friday, overall team power rankings. We plan on being back this weekend to talk about those and any other news that might emerge. Next week, we don't know when that Dynasty blog is coming. We know that's the next topic and area of focus for the big deep dive. Hopefully next week, but don't forget it's the 4th of July. So I can't think we're going to get a Thursday or Friday news release next week, because if we don't get it on Tuesday, I'm beginning to think that maybe it's not coming. Just going to give people a heads up that it's a short week next week.
One of the things I saw mentioned, and I don't remember where I saw it or what it was. It was from an official channel, I'm fairly certain, but they did also mention that they're going to release player ratings coming very soon as well. So obviously this doesn't include that, but I think we'll start seeing a lot more and more of that.
And that'll be an interesting debate.
For sure,
it could be a nightmare.
And I'm curious, on the 28th, are they going to do all overall team power rankings, or is it going to be like the top 25 or what we see there?
You would think if it's top 25, they would say that, but that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Yeah. Agreed.
You never know. Whoever made this graphic, you know, might think we're going to give you team overalls, but just overalls for the top 25. It would be nice to see it 1 through 134. I don't think we'll get it, but it would be nice.
Yeah. Agreed.
Especially to get team prestige so people can start figuring out what teams they want to use in Dynasty, and Dynasty can start setting up their league's formats. So with that, I'm CDJ. For Tommy and JB Huskers, catch us on the next edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.